able to check it out. All right, so let's begin following the leading of the Spirit. Yesterday, we talked about the importance as per why the leading of the Spirit is very crucial to the believer. We said that we cannot fulfill God's purpose for our lives without it. We said that we cannot fulfill God's plans and purpose according to God's specification without it. We said that a life of trial and error is miserable. And the only way out of this mystery is taking advantage of the leading of God. We said that the leading of the Spirit removes the false idea that God does not lead his children. It will shock you how many believers think that God does not lead them. It will shock you how many people think that you have to go to the mountaintop for God to lead you. Or you have to sing in a way that your soprano pitch would strike a chord in heaven and God will now ask a question. Who is that person that had that high soprano? Fetch me that person. Let's give that person 1 minute of inspiration. No, 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 no. The leading of the Spirit is something that is your reality. We also said that it's forbidden and illegal for a believer to experience feelings of helplessness, hopelessness, frustration in decision-making in every area of their lives. And we said that the leading of the Spirit is the highway above such unnecessary burdens and grief. We also said that the believer should never not know what to do in his earthly pilgrimage, what to do in ministry, what to do in career, what to do in relationships, what to do in family, what to do in business. The believer should never not know what to do. You have the Spirit of God in you. You have the leading of the Spirit as your reality. And then just a quick, scriptures from what we studied yesterday before we go into today's study. Matthew chapter 28 from verse 18 to 20. We would either start every meeting with Luke 24 or do Matthew 28. You'll know why shortly. The Bible says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So yesterday we said that the scriptures is the message of Christ, the message of his suffering and the glory that he entered into. The message of his suffering and the glory that he entered into. And we said his suffering consists of his death and burial. Some people add the humanity, you know, his earthly pilgrimage as well. And we said that his glory, the glory he entered into, began at the resurrection, which led to the ascension, which led to the indwelling of his Spirit in you. And you're seated with him in the heavenlies. Now, we also observed that Jesus, when he was just resurrected, said, all authority has been given to me. All authority has been given to me. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And yesterday we analyzed the authority that was given to him. We said that the resurrection was the most important event in all of history, because it was in the resurrection that Jesus, was found a brother. You know, he called us brethren upon his resurrection, one born of the same womb, someone sharing the same ancestry as God. It was in the resurrection of Jesus that, you know, God was found a father. It was in the resurrection that Jesus made us sons of God. It was in the resurrection that he was found both Lord and Master. It was in that same resurrection that man became the temple of God, the shrine of God, the dwelling place of God. And it was that resurrection that made it possible for God to live in man forever. So no matter what you do as a believer, everything that we are, all that we are to God, is founded in the resurrection of Christ. And all that God is to the new man, he is because of the resurrection of Jesus. Now, this is the foundation for the leading of the Spirit. Right, if you were here yesterday, you understand what we're talking about. And we said that the dominion of Jesus, his authority, is seen in his resurrection. When he resurrected, he said, all authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. And it says, go ye therefore. So we see that he had authority over evil, authority over sin and death, authority over sickness, authority over, over death, over corruption, authority to determine how the scripture should be interpreted, authority to give life, authority to forgive sins, authority to make disciples, authority to dwell in men forever. And we said that he gave us that instruction to make disciples of all nations in the light of his suffering and resurrection. We observed that he was called the great shepherd, right? And we emphasized that a disciple is an apprentice, is someone who follows. So in the resurrection, he was seen as the leader. We were seen as disciples, which means that the resurrection of Jesus is the leading of God. The leading of God from which men passed from death to life, men passed from darkness to light, men passed from the dominion of Satan into the dominion of Christ. We said that in that resurrection, we find God's leading. We know how God's leading is. His leading is unwavering, unconditional, uncompromising, understandable. We also said that his leading is in his union with you by his spirit. All right, that was just a summary about what we discussed yesterday. Today, we want to begin very quickly from John chapter 8 from verse 12. John chapter 8 from verse 12. It says, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Now we're going to actually study this verse. I am the light of the world. He who follows me. Now, if you observe what just happened in John 8, that woman was caught in the act of adultery. It's amazing how they caught just the woman and the man was nowhere to be found. And they were going to stone her to death according to their understanding of the law of Moses. And Jesus kept them quiet. Eventually, he told the woman, where are your accusers? Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Normally, I would think that he just told her to go and sin no more without giving directions, without giving anything. How is she going to go and sin no more? I always had that thought in my mind. I don't know if anybody has had that thought before. Go and sin no more. What's the way out of sin? The next verse, he said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. So he didn't just tell her, go and sin no more. He actually gave her the solution, the way out of that life, the nature of sin. He says, I am the light of the world. He spoke to all of them. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So you can agree with me that there are two kinds of men. There is the light of the word. There is the darkness of the word. There's no in between. There are two kinds of men on earth. The light of the word, the darkness of the word. Jesus said, I am the light of the word. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That means that the opposite to walking in darkness is having a light, having the light of life. Does that make sense? The opposite to not walking in darkness is having the light of life, which means that the opposite to not walking as the Gentiles do, as the sinners do, as those who are trapped in their sin, is possessing the light, which is called eternal life. It says the light of life, which means that the life is that light, all right? That means that if you have that nature of life, you will not walk in darkness. It says, he who follows me will not walk in darkness, but shall have. Shall have. So the goal or the reward for following here, or the, I would say the gift for following here is having something. Having something called life, which is light. Jesus says, he who follows me will not walk in darkness. That means that the following is a following that gives life once and for all. Jesus was not just asking people to follow him. No, he was asking them to follow him in this context so that they can have something. What were they going to have? Life. What would that life manifest as for them? Light. All right. They were to follow him to have something. Now, what does it mean? What does that mean? It means that they were to follow him into an eternal state. That following there was not to follow him to Samaria. That following there was not to follow him to Jamaica. It wasn't to follow him to Jerusalem. No, it was to follow him into a spiritual eternal state. All right? The darkness there was not a visible darkness. It was a nature. It was a state of life. So the following there was a following into an eternal state. What's that state? The state of life, which is light to men. All right? The state of life, which is light to men. Now, what did Jesus mean by follow? Because I know this can be easily misinterpreted. What did Jesus mean by follow? To understand what it means by follow, we need to study the context, right? There's a popular rule for Bible interpretation that says, you know, you look at the pretext, you look at the text, then you look at the post-text to understand, to have the full view of the context, right? The pretext, which is the verses preceding the verse. You look at the text itself, which is the verse you're reading. You look at the post-text, which is the verse after the text. And that gives you the context, all right? So what did Jesus mean by he who follows me? Because some people would actually take this and say, it means that you have to look for Jesus. You have to follow him. The day you stop 1 minute, if you stop following 1 minute, you lose everything. You lose the light of life. You lose life. Eternal life is gone. Then if you follow again, eternal life will now come back. You know, God will disown you for a minute. God will get angry and keep you malice for a minute and run away. Then when you now behave yourself, then God will now pack his load and come back. A man of God I love so much will say, go and come God or something. Yeah, let's study the context. Jesus, you know, in verse 21 of John 8 said, you know, he said to them, I go my way. And ye shall seek me and shall die in your sins. What's the darkness there? Their sins. They could not get themselves out of it. Laws could not save them. Traditions could not save them. Memorizing the Bible could not save them. They were in their sins. So they were walking. The one who is in his sins is the one the Bible calls the one who walks in darkness, gropes in darkness. Right? He said, whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he said, whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said to them, ye are from beneath. You got to love Jesus. I am from above. Ye are of this world. So who are those from beneath? Those who walk in darkness. Those who are in their sins. Right? He is from above. Who is the one who is from above? The one who is light. The one who has life. Ye are of this world. Who are those who are of this world? Those who walk in darkness. Those who are in their sins. Those are the ones who are of this world. He says, I am not of this world. I said therefore to you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. So what does it mean to follow here? Follow here simply means to believe. Believe in the one who is above. Believe in the one who is not beneath. Believe in the one who is not in the sins. Believe in the one who is the propitiation for sins, for the sins of the world. Believe in the one who is not of this world. So to follow here was to follow him from the word to out of the word. It was to follow him from beneath to above. It was to follow him from sin to righteousness. So following in this context actually means to believe. So I am the light of the world. He who believes in me will not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. It therefore means then that they were to follow him into sonship by faith. This following here was a following into sonship by faith. It was a following, so they were to follow him into his death, into his burial, into his resurrection, that they may now have the light of life by faith. Make sense? So Jesus is that leader that led creation into his death, into his burial, and then into his resurrection, which is the glory. Is this making sense? Now we'll connect this with how important it is with the living very, very shortly. They were to follow him into his death. They were to follow him into his burial. Say, where I'm going to, you cannot come. It takes faith to follow him. Faith to follow him into his death, into his burial, into his resurrection. And that following is a following out of darkness into light by faith. It's a following out of death into life by faith. It's a following from beneath to above to be. It's a following into the born again experience, which the Greek word would say the born from above experience. It's to follow Jesus through the path of his death, burial, and resurrection into life by faith. So who is a believer? One who believes in Jesus, right? One who believes in Jesus and by faith has followed Jesus from death to life. That means a believer was born under the supervision of the leading of God. The leading of God was the nature of your birth. Does that make sense? You were led by God. So every believer is born led. It says, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. The word for led there means to be carried. As many as are carried by the Spirit. Carried from where? Carried from death to life. Carried from darkness to light. These are the sons of God. You were actually carried by God. What is the leading of God? The carriage of God. When God carries a person from one place to the other, that's the leading. So the circumstance of your birth actually was the leading of the Spirit. So no believer can say, I've never been led. No believer can say, I've never ever been led. You have always been led. You were born led. Jesus said, he who believes in me will never walk in darkness. That's a bold statement. Will never walk in darkness, which means that walking in darkness is spiritual death that the light of life cures. Eternal life is the cure for walking in darkness, which means that walking in darkness is a state, just like eternal life is a state. It's a nature. Walking in darkness is a nature, just like the light of life is a nature. The light of life will take out from you your capacity, that nature in you that causes you to walk in darkness. Which means that walking in darkness, having the life of light is by faith, walking in darkness would be unbelief that separates man from God. The distance between men and God, the absence of God. So the believer, therefore, is that person that has obtained walking in the light as reality. When God gave you light, which is life, he gave it to you as your reality. He didn't give it to you to earn it, to purchase it, to eventually, there's a popular theology right now that says you have to attain a rank to cooperate with God. You have to attain a rank. No. It's a reality given to you at a new birth. So who's the believer? The man that has light of life. The man whose light, the light in him is life. And that life is Christ. That's the believer. In simple terms. In simple terms. And you wonder, how does this relate to the leading of the Spirit? This is very, very critical. In leading you through faith, by faith in his death and burial and resurrection, God actually shared his life with you. God actually shared his life with you. And we said that his life is his light. Life is light. They are two, they are the same thing. Life is light. So God shared his life with you. God shared his life with you. And the Bible says that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So in the new birth, God did not communicate darkness to you. Amen. God took away darkness and shed life with you. That life does not have darkness in it. That life does not have any iota of darkness. God is light. It is that nature of himself that he gave to you at the new birth. This is what the Bible calls fellowship, koinonia, you know, communion. Fellowship is the result of receiving the life of God. The Bible says, you know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 from verse 9, it says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So fellowship is something you were born into. You were carried into fellowship. You were carried into communion. You were carried into the supply of God's Spirit. You were carried into the supply of God's life. You were carried into the supply of God's nature. First John, I believe 1 John 1 would say that our fellowship is with Jesus Christ. It's with God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. You have fellowship right now. I was in a retreat last week and somebody was telling me, you know, I think fellowship with God is one thing I think I need to have. I'm like, well, you're born again. He said, yes, but you know, fellowship with God. And I made him read the Bible again. God is faithful. Listen, your fellowship with God is not based on your faithfulness. Your fellowship with God is based on the faithfulness of God. It says, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son. You were called into it. You are in fellowship right now with God. What is that fellowship you have right now with God? Eternal life in you is that fellowship. Eternal life does not go off and come back on. Eternal life in you is constant. So you are constantly in union with God. Amen. So God's nature became your nature because of the resurrection of Jesus. God's nature became your nature because of the resurrection of Jesus. Now, I want to repeat this. God's nature became your nature because of the resurrection of Jesus. So the believer does not have a sin nature. It's not in the Bible. Because one of the things that Christ did in his suffering was to take away the old man and crucify the old man. You don't have the old man. What you have in you is the nature of God. Now, this is so heavy. A lot of believers think that in them is God, the Spirit of God, and then the nature of sin. And then God is cohabiting with the nature of sin in them. That's a fallacy. Your old man is dead and gone to the grave. It's a song we used to sing. Old Roger is dead and gone to the grave. I had to modify it. I sing it this way. My old man is dead and gone to the grave. Gone to the grave. I planted a crucifix over his head. Over his head. The devil came to tell me that my old man was alive, to call my new old. Call my new old. My new man got up and gave him a knock. And the devil ran away and never returned. My old man is crucified. I reckon myself as dead to sin. That's what the cross did. That's what the cross did. Men killed Jesus, but while men were killing Jesus, God was killing what made men kill Jesus by putting what made men kill Jesus on Jesus at the cross. So while they were saying, crucify him, God was also screaming, crucify sin, crucify the old man. Men crucified Jesus, God crucified the old man. Does that make sense? That's the wisdom of the cross. So that in the new creation, in the resurrection, the new creation would emerge without any stench of sin, without any iota of darkness. Hallelujah. You still following here? So the nature of the believer is actually a nature where darkness is untraceable. The nature of a believer is a nature where darkness is non-existent, because that nature is God himself. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. There is no darkness in your spirit right now. There's no iota of darkness in your spirit. Well, why do believers sin? Their minds. There's a difference. Your mind, the mind, not the spirit that God gave. God cannot give a spirit that causes men to sin when salvation is deliverance from sin. The new birth itself, you know, you were given deliverance from sin as a birthday gift. God gave you himself. God that gave you himself has no darkness in himself. So there is no darkness at the core of your being. The nature of the believer can never have darkness, because that believer, the life in that believer is Christ. Christ can never have darkness. In your nature, there is no darkness right now. Which means that the nature of the believer is forever foreign to darkness. He is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now, please follow this very, very closely. If I were you, I would declare over myself, in my nature, darkness is untraceable. In my nature, darkness is non-existent. In my nature, my nature is forever foreign to darkness. The nature in me is God, is the eternal life of God. That life can never have darkness. There is no component of darkness in the nature of the life of God. No component of darkness. Which means that the believer has a nature that makes it logical, reasonable, and achievable to have a zero failure rate in following God's plan. Oh my God. If this doesn't make you jump and run, I don't know what will. The believer has a nature that makes it logical, that makes it reasonable, that makes it achievable to have a zero failure rate in following God's plan. Your DNA is 100% failure proof when it comes to following God's plan. Glory to God. 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 Your DNA is 100% failure proof when it comes to following God's plan. Because in your DNA is the nature of God himself. Hallelujah. 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 Romans chapter 8 from verse 9 to 10. It says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if indeed the spirit of God dwells in you. Who is the one that is not in the flesh? The one who is in the spirit. Who is the person who is in the spirit? The one who the spirit lives in. He said, now anyone that does not have the spirit of Christ is not of his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. The spirit is life. Mark that word. The spirit is life because of righteousness. So who is the believer? He's the one who is always in the spirit. Why? Because the spirit lives in him. So Paul here calls the spirit of God life. Remember, we call Jesus life. We call him the life of the light of life, which is life, eternal life. He says that the spirit of Christ is life. That spirit is in you right now. You are not in the flesh. You are in the spirit. A lot of believers think that, you know, when they come to church, they are in the spirit. I hear worship leaders say, let us not be in the spirit now as we sing to God. I'm wondering, where have you been? The Bible says you are not in the flesh if the spirit of God dwells in you. You ought to say that I am not in the flesh. I'm never in the flesh. Hallelujah. Because the Spirit of God dwells in me. If these things are too high for you and you don't want to accept them, following the leading just becomes hard. Becomes hard. You are in the Spirit right now. You are in the Spirit right now. Why? Because the Spirit lives in you. You are in the spirit. So who is the one who is in the flesh? What does it mean to be in the flesh? To be in the flesh, therefore, means that you don't have the spirit. The one who is in the flesh is one who does not have the spirit. So who is the one who is in the spirit? Is the one who the spirit has. The one who the spirit possesses. The one who has the spirit. You see, the spirit has him. He has the spirit. He lives in the spirit. The spirit lives in him. That's the person in the spirit. You are in the spirit. And Paul says that this spirit is life, which means that God is in you by his spirit in you. God's life is in you by his spirit in you, which means that the spirit of God in you is actually eternal life in you. Which means that God gave the spirit to be your nature at the new birth. Amen. God did not give the spirit for your nature to manage. God gave the spirit to be your nature. Is that making sense? Does that make sense? God gave the spirit at the new birth to be your nature. Because by faith, you received the spirit. The difference between the believer and the unbeliever is a nature difference. The difference between the believer and the unbeliever is a spirit difference. Which means that the nature that distinguishes the believer from the unbeliever is the spirit. So who is the believer? The one who has God as his nature. So God is my nature. 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 Who is the man who is born again? He's the man who is born of the Spirit. Born of the Spirit. God is my nature by his Spirit in me. God is my nature. God is my nature. That Spirit in me is my nature. That Spirit in me is life. That life is light. What does light mean? Light means for men clarity. Light means for men direction. Light means accuracy. Light means veracity in the things of God. Light means illumination. Now, if God is my nature by his Spirit in me, and his Spirit in me is the life in me, and that life in me is the light in me, then it means clarity is my nature. It means that direction is my nature. It means that accuracy is my nature. It means that veracity in the things of God is my nature. It means that illumination is actually my nature. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. A sense of what to do is my nature. Which means that the believer always has a sense of what to do. The believer always has a sense of how to do what to do. Not just what to do, but how to do what to do. It's always in your spirit. It's always in the spirit that God gave you in redemption. A sense of what is right is in your nature. You have the anointing. You know what to do. It says you know all things. So if you can capture the spirit of the new man, what would you see? You would see Christ, the spirit of Christ. That spirit is not ignorant. That spirit is not groping in darkness. That spirit is not trying to know. That spirit is not trying to catch up with God. Hallelujah. This is your reality right now. It's your reality right now. It's your reality right now. So you ask yourself, what should I do with God's leading? What should I do with God's leading? Now that you know that the leading of the Spirit, the leading of God, is your nature. The believer is always being led. We said yesterday, we do not follow God to make him lead us. No. No. We don't follow him to make him lead us. We follow him because he's leading us. It's his nature to lead. So we follow. We are always being led. What should you do about this. You ought to know you have it first. Know that you have it. Know that you have it. Know that you have it. Let it sink into your consciousness. Know that you have it. Saturate your mind with it. Fill your mind with these thoughts that you are always being led. That's number one. Number two, loudly acknowledge what you know. So what you know, what you have found today, put it in your mouth and be loud about it. Put it in your mouth and be loud about it. The Lord is my shepherd. Put it in your mouth. Be loud about it. I am always being led. I always have a sense of what to do. I always have a sense of what is right. I know what to do because he knows what to do. Put it in your mouth. Rehearse these things to yourself. Roar with these things. Let everybody around you be able to recite it because they have heard it so much from you. This is highly spiritual. What we are doing right now is highly spiritual. Highly spiritual. Highly spiritual. Highly spiritual. So put it in your mouth. Put it in your mouth. Put it in your mouth. Let's just try and practice a bit. Now you can unmute very quickly. Let's just practice a bit. Now say after me. In my nature.
In my nature.
Is the light of life.
Light.
That light is God himself. There is nothing that takes God by surprise. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If God is in me, it means there is no darkness at all in me. So there is nothing I want to do today that God is not leading me in. The nature in me does not learn by experience. It knows all things. I am always being led. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. So if there is something you want to do, for example, start with this. A career choice, relationships, business. First, get drunk by speaking. You know, we get drunk by drinking physically. We drink by opening our mouth in the spirit. We drink by talking. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the spirit, speaking to yourself. We drink by speaking. So you first of all get drunk first. You first of all saturate your mind with the reality. Know that you have it. Then acknowledge it loudly. Put it in your mouth. Because your mouth feeds your mind, and then your mouth now releases what is in your mind. You get? Your mouth first will take the scriptures and use the scriptures to feed your mind. Then your mind will now reveal what is in you. Your mouth will now reveal what is now in your mind. So you take what is in the scriptures, you use that to feed your mind first, to feed your heart, until all that is in your mind agrees with the reality in your spirit. So you acknowledge it loudly, 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 loudly. Third, what should you do? You should give yourself unreservedly to understanding what you are acknowledging. So first you know, then you acknowledge loudly, then you now give time to pay attention to what you have been acknowledging. You give time to understand it. The difference between a mature believer and an immature saint is attention to details. Attention to details. attention to the good things that are in you in Christ Jesus. See, the facts are the same. Our reality is the same. The difference is how magnified is the fact in your mind. The difference between me and someone else, even though the fact, the reality is the same, is how magnified that fact is in me as compared to him. So you give yourself unreservedly to understand it. Now, you're already doing that by listening to this message. You're giving yourself unreservedly to understand what you are acknowledging. And then four, you follow promptly what you have understood. You follow promptly what you have understood. You follow promptly what you have understood. Where can I find the leading? Somebody would ask. Well, you've been talking and talking and talking. Now tell us, where will I find this leading? Where will I find God's leading? Easy. The easiest thing in the world. You will find his leading in the written word. First, number one, you heard the gospel. How did you hear the gospel? From the word. The word was preached to you. Right? So you heard the gospel from the word, and you were carried by the Spirit from death to life. That same written word is God's leading to you. When God gave us the scripture, that's leading of the Spirit. That's his leading. That's his leading. Somebody once said something very, very significant. He said, don't complain that God is not talking when your Bible is closed. That's his leading. So go to the word. You give the word first place. You give the word first place. You give the word first place. We'll come to that. This is just a summary. Secondly, you will find his leading in the Spirit within you. You will find his leading in the Spirit. Now, during the course of this entire series, we would unpack, you know, how to find the leading in the word, how to find the leading in the Spirit, by looking into the Spirit within you, how to find that leading, how to recognize the leading. We'll talk about that. You will find the leading, thirdly, in mature saints who practice the word and yield to the Spirit. You see that? So you find the leading in the written word. You find the leading in the, you know, in the Spirit that is within you. But you will also find the leading of the Spirit in mature saints who practice the word. Notice that I said practice the word. It's not in every sense you will find the leading. But you will find the leading in mature saints who practice the word and yield to the Spirit. You will find the leading in mature saints who practice the word and yield to the Spirit. These are the three things we will now unpack. We'll talk about, you know, how to prioritize the written word, you know, Bible study, meditation, all of that. We'll talk about how to recognize the leading of the Spirit from within you, maybe through spiritual sensations and inward witness. We'll talk about how to recognize the leading of God's Spirit in mature saints who practice the word of God and yield to the Spirit. It's a story about, you know, a sister in a church. They were in a church service, and the minister of God that was ministering that day had a funny sensation. And you know what that sensation was? Tell her to run around this church rejoicing. That means run around the church, round the pulpits, come down, go to the back, run around. That was very funny. But you know, the flow of the Spirit, the matured saints understand the flow of the Spirit in meetings. I tell myself, you're not that smart to originate spontaneous thoughts like that. And he told her, he was foolish enough to tell her, and she was foolish enough to follow. So meeting was going on. She was running, rejoicing in the Spirit around the church. At that same time, the husband had a terrible, ghastly accident. Car crushed, but he survived. At about the same time that she was jumping in the Holy Ghost, laughing in the Spirit, and running. You see, the Spirit of God is amazing. His language is not English. It doesn't speak English. That's nothing. Heaven does not have a first language called English. At times he will tell you, laugh. Just laugh in the Spirit. Laugh in the spirit. Laugh in the spirit. Because I'm saying this because some of us are going to laugh right now. We're going to start laughing very soon. Laugh in the spirit. Laugh in the spirit. You know, laugh in the spirit. She was rejoicing and laughing. That activity was the authorization to save the husband. That activity was the authorization. Mature saints who practice the word and they yield to the spirit. You know, a man of God was telling me about a story, finished ministry, and just had a strong impression to contact a lady, contact her there and then. And he picked up the call and called her. It was so timely. Nobody would have known what would have happened if he did not follow. I remember vividly as teenagers, we had this prayer movement where we'd meet every week to pray all night. And one day, one of the ministers of the gospel there became restless. Suddenly became very restless. She was walking to and fro, walking to and fro, walking to and fro. We're trying to pacify her. Maybe you should just sit down. Maybe it's tension. Maybe it's the tiredness from your walk. She said, no, it's not. It's not. Let's pray in tongues. Let's pray in tongues. We began to pray in the spirit. Just right outside the church, some ladies coming to the all night to join us were being robbed. We were praying in the spirit, but they were left unharmed. They came into the meeting shouting, armed robbers just attacked us, but they left us. At the same time, we were operating in the spirit. Mature saints who practice the word and yield to the spirit. We're going to laugh in the spirit very shortly. I sense that we should do that. Hallelujah. I sense we should do that very shortly. So it's easier to know what to do when you know. It's easier to know what to do when you know who you are and what you have. When you know who you are and what you have, it's easy to know what to do. What to do is easy. Your job is to pay attention to who you are and to pay attention to what you have. When you pay attention to who you are, you're learning who you are. You're learning what you have. What to do will come to you easily. I want you to go home with this point. It's easier to know what to do when you know who you are and what you have. Philemon 1:6, that the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. By the epignosis, by the precise, complete knowledge of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Which means that if I gain precise knowledge, the more precise my knowledge is the more effective my faith work would be. The more precise my knowledge is the more my effectiveness in communicating the divine verities, in communicating divine truths, in communicating divine realities. What makes a saint effective is precision of knowledge. Mm. Seek to know who you are, what you have. You will realize that what to do will be easy. So easy. So easy. So easy. If you're listening on Mixer and you're here in this platform, let's take out 1 minute. 1 minute. Just unmute everyone. Everyone unmute. 1 minute. You're going to laugh out straight for 1 minute. I don't know why we're doing this, but I am sure we will have some crazy testimonies, some powerful, powerful testimonies. Let's take out 1 minute. 1 minute. 1 minute. We're about to start. I want to time it. I want to be sure that we can time it. 1 minute, and everybody, let's laugh. Ha 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 Glory! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. We are seated in the heavens in our Father. Laughter is his response to all the wiles of the wicked. We laugh. Is there anyone here who they say has cancer or any infirmity or any? They say you won't have money in your account to, you know, to you know, to sponsor yourself or to fund the bills. Maybe they told you that there is no hope for tomorrow. Maybe they told you you had COVID-19. Maybe they told you that you'll never be fulfilled in life.
My God,
that there will always be a hole in your heart. Glory, hallelujah. We laugh. We laugh. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's just give him praise. Let's praise him. Let's just praise him. We praise you, Lord Jesus. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Glory. Hallelujah. Who's that person you've been waiting for? Direction. Direction in ministry. Direction to know what to do. Just laugh. The answers are dropping in your spirit right now. The answers are dropping in your spirit right now. Maybe they told you the way you are going right now, you've carried God on your head too much. You should drop it so you can marry. I don't know who I'm talking to, but it's time to laugh. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can't stop myself. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Glory. Hallelujah. Amen.